when we meet with Jesus, we are always loved, we are always challenged, and we are always changed. There are 10 recorded occasions on which the risen Christ appears to others. And this encounter in John's Gospel is the 5th time that the written accounts record that happening. It's become symbolic with that prefix before the disciple Thomas, doubting Thomas. And I think we do him a disservice by that. Perhaps a fairer title might be the uncompromisingly honest Thomas. Or how about Thomas the truthful? His response to the incident recorded is one that actually challenges us, I believe, and strikes to our very humanity. I mean, have you ever wondered, why wasn't he there? Where was he? He's recorded as being one of the 12, so presumably he has been with them, but on this occasion he's not there. Why is that? Was he out running errands for them? Was he out just taking some time for himself, processing the things that he'd heard, encountering and trying to deal with his own personal grief? Whatever the reason for him not being there, I can fully understand with his rather prickly kind of response when he discovers what's gone on in his absence. But there is a truth there also, that actually when we withdraw from Christian fellowship, when we withdraw from the opportunity to be together with others in worship, we do lose out. We do miss out on opportunities to encounter God in particular ways. And I'm not decrying in any way or undermining in any way the absolute importance of us individually to spend time alone with the Lord in prayer and in study of his word. That is so crucial. But there's the promise of Jesus, isn't there? Where two or three are gathered, there I'll be in the midst. Things happen when we come together that don't happen when we are not. We get encouraged and our faith rises. But I can understand why Thomas says what he says. You can just imagine him thinking, okay, you're great. Thanks a lot, Jesus. All the time I've been here with the others and you choose the one moment when I'm not in the room to appear to them all. Great, thanks. It's like an immediate response to a very personal hurt, I think. No. And I can understand that. To quote Pete Gregg is the guy, remember, who wrote the prayer course that many of us took up last year. And he's also the director of Lectio 365, a reflective guide that I've encouraged on many occasions that you might engage with. And I know some of you are doing and are really receiving from that. But he says this about Thomas this week, actually. Sometimes I feel like Thomas when Jesus shows up for others, when Jesus blesses others, when Jesus speaks to others in ways that he hasn't yet done for me. And I know what that feels like. I can easily feel and have done on occasions where I've missed a particular church meeting and the Holy Spirit's come in great power at that time and everyone's been buzzing about it and saying, oh, whoa, this happened and this happened and it was just so amazing. And I think, typical. The one time when I'm not there. And you all get that. And I don't. You know, it's easy for us to feel like Thomas. There's the humanity of it. But look, just look at how Jesus deals with that. Because he comes, we're told he comes 7 days later. And the words he uses for Thomas are the very words that Thomas has been speaking and saying. And yet Jesus wasn't there, remember? Thomas's responses and feelings have not been overlooked. They've not been ignored by Christ. He's heard Thomas. He knows his heart, even when he's absent. It's as if Jesus is saying, look, I heard you, Thomas. I heard you. I know your heart. Even when you think I didn't care about you. And Thomas, I was there with you, even when you didn't think I was. I was there. And it's a really powerful and personal moment, I think, for Thomas at that point. That's got enormous implications for all of us. When we are feeling isolated, when we are feeling ignored, when we are feeling forgotten or abandoned, take heart from those words of Jesus. To quote Pete Gregg again, he says, Jesus is not saying, hang on in there, folks. I'll turn up eventually. Be patient with me. And when I can get to you, I will. He's not like one of those answering messages you get when you call through to some office, yeah? We are experiencing unusually high demand at the moment. Your call is important to us. Please hold the line. And then you get that horrible music, don't you? And then the same message repeated about every 30 seconds. It's not like that. Jesus is not like that. Rather, it's Jesus saying, I hear you. Even when you think, I can't hear you, I hear you. I see you. Even when you think you are not being seen by me. I believe in you. Even when you are struggling to believe in me. When we meet with the risen Christ, we are always loved, always challenged, always changed. But it's meeting with him that's so crucial. The goal of our lives should be meeting the risen Christ. And Thomas's apparent rejection of the reality of Christ and the reality of his friend's testimony of having met the risen Christ is a reaction to his own personal hurt at not having experienced that for himself. That's really what it's about. And so often, the rejection of God from folks that we know, we all know folks in this situation, their rejection of God is invariably down to the fact that it's not happening to them. Dot, 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 yet. Because we know, because Scripture tells us and Jesus enforces, it is not God's will for anyone to miss out on that. But because it's not happening to them, then it can't be real. But the logic of that argument, the logic of the premise of that argument is fundamentally flawed. Now let me give you a for instance. I've always been interested in aircraft, always, since I was a wee kid. I knew that Boeing 747s, although they've just stopped production of them, but Boeing 747s existed. Jumbo jets existed. I'd seen photographs of them. I'd seen pictures of them. I'd read about them. I'd read about people who'd been on them. I'd even met people who'd been on them. But it was only the other year that I actually got to experience it for myself. But that did not mean that they didn't exist and that every experience that everybody else had had was totally futile and just hadn't happened to them. Just because something isn't happening to us, just because we are not experiencing something at the moment, does not mean that it does not exist, does not mean that it is not real. Bear that in mind, particularly as we move towards Pentecost as well, and the arguments that will be coming to us. Lacking a personal experience does not remove the reality of that experience. And I think right now that there are significant powers and authorities in our nation that are struggling with that very issue over the coronation. And I think that perhaps some of the delay over publishing the liturgy for that coronation, how come we haven't got it yet, is because there will be some folks who are struggling over what the promises are in that coronation and what that coronation actually signifies. But lacking a personal experience does not remove the reality of it. We all have a need to repent of cynicism, don't we? Because it crosses our path and it's very easy to get drawn into it. But hold fast to what you know of the Lord in your life. Hold fast to what Scripture enforces and encourages us over the risen Christ. And again, to quote Pete Gregg, let's decide to believe in our beliefs more than we believe in our doubts, and to doubt our doubts more than we doubt our beliefs. And those of you who were here last Sunday know that I said something, I thought, oh, that's good, I'm going to say it again. I'll say that again. We need to decide to believe in our beliefs more than we believe in our doubts, and to doubt our doubts more than we doubt our beliefs. Blessed are those, says Jesus, who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you. That's me. And so, Lord, I choose to claim your blessing on me now. And I choose to receive that blessing constantly. Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. And Spirit, help me to love the lost, the least, and the broken, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say, to the glory of your name.